Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf Tezayin. And we're continuing on in the exciting sugya of the din of Tzoras Habas. As you recall, we had a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel that if you have a Tzoras Erva who falls the Yibam, is there a din of Yibam or not? And Beis Shammai said yes, that even though you cannot go and be Miyabim your own daughter or your own Shviger or any one of the 15 Aroyas, but you can and you should be Miyabim or give Chalitza to the Tzora, either based on a Pasik, based on an Yisachal Isser. He had Tzoras before in the Gemara. Beis Hillel, of course, rejects that, and Beis Hillel says, like we learned in the first Mishnah, that not only is the original Erva Aser, but also the Tzoras Erva is Aser. So how do we paskin halacha l'maisa? The Gemara tells us a story. We had already touched on this at the end of yesterday's shir. We'll start again on line 3, starting again in the sense that we're going to repeat part of the story. Gufa. Bimei Reb Doise ben Horkinus. Reb Doise ben Horkinus was an elderly great godoil, and in his time he tiru tzores habas le'achim. The Gemara initially assumes that Reb Doise ben Horkinus was the one that was mati the tzores habas, and we know who is the one that's mati tzores habas. That's Beis Shammai, because according to Beis Hillel, this is totally prohibited. If Chas V'Sholem, a brother, wanted to go and be miyabim the tzores habas, it's an iser kares. The children Cholila would be mamzerim. However, not according to Beis Shammai.
Tzoras habas is the daughter of the tzara?
No, tzoras habas means a tzara of an erva. The reason why the Gemara says tzoras habas is because that's the first case in our Mishnah. Remember back on Daf Beis when we listed all of the 15, we had Bitoi, we had Bas Benoi, Bas Bitoi, we had Bas Ishtoi, Bas Beno, Bas Bitoi, then Chamoisoi, etc., etc. So Bitoi is just one of the enumerated Ervis. So what happens if you have a situation where Reuven and Shimon are brothers? Reuven has a daughter, a lovely young lady. We'll call her
Sprinzer. Okay.
Good. So Sprinzer now goes and marries her uncle Shimon. Is an uncle allowed to marry a niece?
Yes.
Absolutely, no problem. So Shimon was married to Reuven's daughter, his niece, and Shimon, by the way, also happened to have had another wife or two. They are called tzaras because they are the co-wives of the daughter of Reuven. They're all tzaras to each other. Anyway, Vahi Hayoim, unfortunately, Shimon passed away very tragically, leaving no children. All of these women now are thinking to themselves, do we fall to Yibam to Reuven? Now, clearly, Reuven cannot be Miyabim his own daughter, because it's an error. The question is, what about the co-wives? Can Reuven go and marry them? That's the case of Tzoras Habas. What would you say?
According to what I've learned so far, no.
No. Where did you learn that?
On the prior pages.
Not on the prior pages. The first Amud of Am Masechta. We learned in the first Mishnah, Chomesh Esrei Nashim, not only are they potter, but Poitrois Tzoroseyin, but Tzoros Tzoroseyin, and Achalitzim, and Ibam. Potter means... No, zero.
From the Pasuk Litzur.
That's right. And in fact, the Gemara even said it, the Chayre should say Oisrois instead of Poitrois. The reason why it says Poitrois, the Gemara said in Daf Gimel, is to distinguish between a Tzora B'mokah Mitzvah and a Tzora Shaloi B'mokah Mitzvah. Well, we don't need to get into that. Now, the point is, you're absolutely right. That's what we learned back on Daf Beis. However, subsequently, back on Daf Yud Gimel, we found out that it's not so simple. It's a machloikis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. If you look in Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, the last line of the Amud, Beis Shammai ma'atir ha'atzorayf li'achin, Beis Shammai said, no, an ach may be miyabim. And not only he may, he has a chiv either on Yibum or Chalitza. Ma'ashenkin Beis Hillel Eisum, he says, achas v'shom, betunish. So now, for the last day,
Is the wedding ceremony different for Tzora than for the primary wife?
Instead of giving roses, they only give tulips at the reception. So there's a major difference. Usually, instead of a 15-man band, they only have 3-man band. It's much different in terms of the whole
ceremony. About the photographer?
The photographer, it depends. Anyway, the din of Yibam is min ha-toira, that it's niknis bebiya. Since it's niknis bebiya, this would be a very intimate setting. It wouldn't be a large chasana.
No videographer.
mid Rabbanon, there is a din of Maimer. Maimer is what we would call Kesef Kedushin by a regular husband and wife, regular Chosin and Kala. But the first thing that Chosin does is he puts the ring on. That's the Kesef Kedushin. So mid Rabbanon, in a person, in the case of a Yavam that's being Miyabim the Yavama, he would also go and first put on a ring, and that would be Maimer, and subsequent to that, he would consummate the Yibam through Bia. Good. The Minat Torah, only Bia is required, nothing else. So getting back to our Gemara now. In the times of Rav Yosef and Hyrcanus, they were matir, who's the they, we will see in the Gemara shortly, but they were matir tzoris basli achin. In other words, they took the view of Beis Shammai that you're allowed to go and be miyabim the tzoras habas, or the Torah of any of the arayis. Not like we learned back on Daf Beis in the beginning of our Masechta. And not like the halacha which is established according to Beis Hill. V'yadover kosh l'chachom, and the chachom that lived at that time were quite upset. Why? Everybody knew Reb Yosef ben Hyrcanus was one of the G'dayli Hadar. He was a grace Chacham. And under normal circumstances, the great Chachamim would come into Beis Medrash, and then we'd have an opportunity to get to have a discussion back and forth. And each side would try to convince the other one if they're right or the other side is right. However, unfortunately, Reb Yosef ben Hyrcanus was already quite elderly. The Einav Kamul Milavoy LeBeis HaMedrash. His vision was no longer strong, so much so that it was difficult for him to go to the Beis Medrash because he couldn't see, and apparently his aide wasn't able to take him. Anyway, so he hadn't been in Beis Medrash in quite a while. So if he doesn't come to the Beis Medrash, then the Beis Medrash is going to come to Reb Yosef ben Hyrcanus. And therefore they said, Omru, mi yelech, who is going to go and have a discussion with Reb Yosef, and hopefully we'll be able to convince him that he should change his mind and paskin like Beis Hillel, that chas v'sholem, a brother, a yavam, should not be miyavim the tzores habas. So mi yelech v'yodia, who's going to go and tell him what we have decided, and discuss it with him to see whether we can change his mind. I will be happy to go. V'yachrav me, and who else is going to go? Reb Elazar ben Azariah. V'yachrav me, and who else is going to go? Reb Akiva. So you have basically like a bezdin of three of the greatest scholars, Reb Yeshua, Reb Elazar ben Azariah, and Reb Akiva, and we're all going to go to Reb Yosef ben Hyrcanus, engage him in discussion, and let's see what we can come up with. Holchu, so they went to V'yomdu, and they stood al Pesach Beisai in front of the door of his home. They knocked nicely, or they rang the doorbell. And Nichnasa Shivchasai, so the Shivcha answered the door, saw that these three saintly rabbis are all there. She said, please wait one moment. And now she went inside into the study, where Reb Yosef ben Hyrcanus was bent over many volumes of Gemara and Rambams. And she told him, Amr Allah, Rabbi, Chachmi Yisrael, Boy Netzlecha.
Wow.
I don't know their names.
Quite,
I have a delegation of these three. Look
super,
very
superpowers.
Okay. Superpowers. Look very saintly.
They didn't have a Polaroid snapshot.
Exactly. Well, maybe they had, but we just lost it over the years. Anyway, so Amr Allah, so he said to the Shevcha, Yichasu, no, Kim Tarang, tell them to come in. V'nichnasu, and all three came in. Tvasoi l'Rabbi Yeshua, v'yishivu al mitash ozav. As we'll see from the Gemara momentarily, Reb Yosef ben Hyrcanus knew Reb Yeshua from earlier years. They were contemporaries, peers, that had learned together in the Beis Medrash. And although the vision of Reb Yosef ben Hyrcanus was unfortunately
diminished,
very poor, but apparently he was strong enough, or maybe he just heard the voice of Reb Yeshua, and therefore he knew his coil, and therefore he said, oh, Reb Yeshua, come to Rhein, zetztach b'yishivu, and he put him down, he had him sit, al mitash ozav, on a very, very, a golden throne, so to speak, a golden chair. In other words, he gave him kavod malach. Amalei, so now Reb Yeshua says to Reb Yosef, Rebbe, emor l'tamidcha acher v'yeshiv, I'm not the only guy here. There are the other Talmidim as well. Please ask them also to take a seat. On Malay, he said, "Me who are the others that are together with you?" Reb Elazar ben Azariah. Oh, the famous Reb Loza ben Azariah. Omar. So now Reb Doisa apparently didn't know Reb Loza ben Azariah because Reb Doisa was already elderly. Reb Loza ben Azariah was a relatively young man. As we know, he became Nasi. Exactly. And he became the Nasi at the age of
18.
So he might, for all you know, this story was only 18 or 20 or 25 years old. And Reb Doisa was a Chvais, much older. So therefore, he didn't know. As we'll see in the Gemara a little bit later, some Mepharshim feel that Reb Doisa was hundreds of years old, as we'll see because of the story of Haggai, which we're going to get to in Yetz Hashem shortly. Anyway, so he didn't know Reb Loza ben Azariah, but he did know Reb Loza ben Azariah's father. Does anybody know what the name of Reb Loza ben Azariah's father? Exactly, Reb Azariah, exactly. So Omar, he said, Yesh le ben la Azariah chavereinu, does he have such a choshev son? Wow, that's really great. Karlov HaMikra Zeh, when he heard this, he said the following pasuk, a pasuk that's familiar to all of us. We say it, of course, in benching. Naro yisi gam zekantim lo yirisi tzadik nezob v'zari mevakesh lochem. What is this all about? As we know from the Gemara Masechet Shabbos and elsewhere, Reb Loza ben Azariah was a very, very wealthy individual. That was one of the reasons why they appointed him to be the new Nasi after they deposed Ram Gamliel.
Chai v'sar shirim, right?
That's another thing. So the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos, says there in the Mishnah, that Parosoi Reb Loza ben Azariah, the para, that is the cow of Reb Loza ben Azariah, Hoyse Yoitze Beritzua Shebein Karneh, would go out on Shabbos with a Ritzua, with a strap around its horns. Shaloi Beratze Chachamim, and the Chacham were upset because they felt that that is a case of carrying needlessly on Shabbos. It's true, Reb Loza ben Azariah didn't do it, but the para did it. And therefore the para did it. That will chayra be a problem of mechamer, that your animal is doing work for you. As we learned in the Gemara before, it's not one of the lametes malachas. You don't get for that koris or skila or anything like that. But nevertheless, it is a lav. And so therefore the chum were not happy. That's the Mishnah. Then we got to the Gemara. The Gemara said, v'chod para havilei. Did Reb Loza ben Azariah only have one cow? V'omerav yamrila, omerav Yehuda, omerav, tracer alfei igli have a ma'aser Reb Loza ben Azariah me'edrei kol shata v'shata. Every year, Reb Loza ben Azariah would give Meiser Behema 12,000 new calves. 12,000, which means grew into his flock 10 times as much. How much would be 10 times? 120,000. A new 120,000 every year. So can you imagine?
And those were just the females.
The offspring that came.
The cavers.
Exactly. Can you imagine, therefore, the parents, so to speak, of the animals? Okay, so there weren't that many male oxen because one male ox had many wives. That's true.
But
Taurus. But all the female cows, can you imagine? We're talking about...
It really wasn't his purr, it was in his neighborhood. We don't want to slam him.
So that's the Gemara's Taurus. So Gemara, Ta'ana Loisha Lehoise, it wasn't his purr, El Shal Shechenos Lehoise, it was one of his neighbors. But because he was not Moichi, he should have said Nancy, or he should have said Mrs. Smith. How can you allow your parrot to go out with that Ritzua Shabbatim Ben Karnel? Since he was not Moicha, Nikos HaShemois, he is a little bit tainted by that story. Anyway, so
we made it a pariah.
A pariah. Shelly, where are you when we need you? Anyway, so the point of this story is Reb Loza ben Azariah is very, very wealthy. What we find from this Gemara today is that Reb Loza ben Azariah inherited a lot of that wealth from his father, Reb Azariah. So the Marsha says that the Pshat in the Pasuk is, Nar Hoyisi, I, Reb Doisa, at one time I was young, and I knew the father, Reb Azariah. Gam Zakanti, now that I've gotten old, at least I know the son of Reb Azariah, Reb Loza, who I've now met for the first time. And Baruch Hashem, Lo Yisi Tzadik Nezam, I'm glad to see that I didn't have a forsaken tzaddik, which means Reb Azariah, in which sense forsaken, that when he passed away, or now when he is in his older age, Gemara doesn't tell us if he's still around or not, but in his elderly age, or after he passed away, that Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a bracha, that he doesn't have a zaroi mevakish lochem, that his son, Reb Loza, was able to yarshin the tremendous estate of his father and continue learning Torah and be Mekadishim Hashem by learning and having this fortune at the same time. So that's why he expressed this pasuk specifically to connect the father and the son. Anyway, Tfasai, now that he heard how great Rabbi Elazar ben Azari is, he took him, Vayishiv al Mita Shel Zav, he put him down also on the Mita Shel Zav, together with Rabbi Yeshua. Amalei, so now again, Rabbi Yeshua says, Rabbi, and one of the Tamidcha Akad, there's one more person here, V'yeshiv, and have him also sit down. Amalei, umihu, and who is that? Akiva ben Yosef, oh, the famous Rabbi Akiva. Amalei, so now Rabbi Toysa says, Atahu, Akiva ben Yosef, Shimcha, Oilech, Misoifa, Oilabad, Soifai. Are you the famous Rabbi Akiva that the whole world is talking about you, Rabbi Akiva? If that's the case, Shev, Beni Shev, please go and take a seat. Kamoyscha, Yirbi Yisrael, we should have more people like you that are so famed for their great Torah knowledge and their grace at Tzidkus, etc. Ischilo, period. So that's the end of the first part of the story. Why over here didn't he put him and have him sit on the Mita Shel Zav? So some of the Mefarshim says there was no room left on the Mita Shel Zav, so we had to give him just a standard chair. Now I think, however, the Marsha says that the reason why is because either Marsha or the Maritz Chayes, one of the Pirushim in the back of the Gemara, says that the reason why he didn't have him sit on the Mita Shel Zav is because Rabbi Akiva was a Talmud of Rabbi Yeshua. That being the case, he didn't want to equate the Talmud with the Rebbe. It could be that Rabbi Akiva was now even greater than his Rebbe, Rabbi Yeshua. Could be. But nevertheless, he felt as covered Harav and covered a Talmud, it wouldn't be appropriate for them to sit together on the same level, and that's why he wanted Rabbi Yeshua to sit on the Mita Shel Zav together with Bozo Nazariah, and Rabbi Akiva should sit on a regular chair or a regular bed. Another thing that the Marsha adds is that the two, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was the Nasi at the time, Rabbi Yeshua was the Avbezdin, while Rabbi Akiva didn't have either of those titles, and so therefore they deserve, because of their office, if you will, political positions, rabbinical positions, whatever, because of their offices, to be treated with the maximum kavod, and Rabbi Akiva, even though he got a letter, nevertheless, because he was a Talmud, they didn't want to equate the two, like we said before. Anyway, so now that they're all there, so he said, Nunu Rabbeisai, What are we going to talk about? So, of course, we're talking about the greatest of the Chachmei Yisrael. They didn't start talking about the kniks and things of that nature. They got down to business. What did they talk about? So, before we continue, it's interesting. Morris says, Akiv ben Yosef, Shishimcha, Hilich, Misoifa, Olam, Vat, Soifa. I was trying to find it last night, but I couldn't. I hope to still find it. That the one of the Achroinim writes, I thought it was Ben Yoyoda, but perhaps another Sefer, that the gematria of Akiva Ben Yosef is Shimcha Hoylech Misoifa Oylam Ba'ad Soifa. Because there are quite a few words, they didn't have a chance to come up with, go through the Cheshem. But one of the Mefarshim says that the Akiva Ben Yosef, Shmoy Hoylech or Hoylech Misoifa Oylam Ba'ad Soifa, that is the same gematria. But what I did find in the Ein Yaakov is something very similar. There's a Pirush on the side in the Ein Yaakov called the Ahavas Eson, and he says the Da Gimisoif Oilam Be'ad Soifai is Gimatria Tof Kuf Samach Dalet. Tof is 400, Kuf is 100, that's 500, Samach Dalet is 64. 564. Ki Tof Kuf Samach Dalet, 564 times Nizker Rebakiva Bechol Hashas. Can you imagine? He knew how safe, and he didn't have a computer. I'm sure he didn't start opening it up. I don't know how many times? 564 times Chol Hashas. Another thing is, the Gemara elsewhere says in Gittin that Rabbi Akiva was like an Oitzer Balum and some Agoides Oitzer Balus, both meaning that he was a tremendous Oitzer, a tremendous treasury of knowledge. So according to the Girsa, that it's Balum, Beis Lamed Vav Mem Oitzer Balum, comes out Gematria Shin Ayin Hei. That's 375. Shalocha kemoisei shin ayin hei b'amim. We pass them like Rabbi Akiva 370 times, 375 times. And according to the gematria, according to the girsa, that it's oitzer bolus b'samach, the gematria of oitzer bolus is Reb Akiva. Anyway, so very interesting. Ramazan.
What do you mean, Rabbi Akiva, the gematria of Rabbi Akiva?
The gematria of Rabbi Akiva is oitzer bolus. Uh-huh. If you cheshbon it out, you'll see, comes out exactly. And we continue on. But they, so another says that Akiva and Yosef is the same gematria as Shimcha Hilech Misoifat Oilam, that's Soifai, but I have to find it. Later, I'll find it, I'll show it to you. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, so now they started asking questions. Hiskilim is Sam Oisei Bahalochais, instead of going directly to Torah Sabbath, then he might become very defensive. They started talking to him about Hichvais Hilchas Atilas Yadayim, Hilchas Erevin, Hilchas Nida, anything and everything, until finally, after 3, 4, 5 Shailas, they said, you know what, let's now talk about Tzoras Abbas. Omulei, Tzoras Abbas Ma, what's the din of Tzoras Abbas? Omulehem, so he said, Chevra, what have you been doing for the last 2 weeks? I'm learning the Daf, it's a Machloik, the Bisham Bisil, like we have in the Mishnah. Okay. Halach Yedirimi, how do we pass him like? Of course we pass him like Basil. We always, almost always pass him like Basil against Beishamah. Omrulay, Bali Mishimcha, Omra, Loch Yabishamah. The whole reason why we're here is because we heard that Bimei, Reb Doisim and Horkenes Hitiru, we assumed that that was you, that you were the one that was Matir. Omrulahan, no, no, no. Doise Shematim or Ben Horkenes Shematim? What did you hear? Did you hear that Doise Paskin like Beishamah? Or did you hear that Ben Horkenes Paskin like Beishamah? Omrulay, so they said back to him, Chaye Rebbe, it's like we're swearing in the name of Rebbe, Stam Shemano, we just heard, Rashi says, we just heard Ben Horkenes, we didn't hear the first name. Look, Rashi, about 10 lines on the top, Stam Shemano, Ben Horkenes, Stam, Ushmoyli Husker, you know, the Horkenes family, we didn't hear.
Rebbe Ben Horkenes was the most famous Ben Horkenes in Shatz. How could they?
You're talking about Reb Lezer.
Right, Reb Lezer Ben
Horkenes. That's spelled differently. This is Reb Doisim Ben Horkenes with a Chav, and Reb Lezer Ben Horkenes is with a Kuf. But regardless, I don't think that they were related, and we're talking about Reb Doisa. So he asked them, did you hear about Doisa? Did you hear Ben Hurkanis? Omalei Chai Rabbi Stam Shaman. We just said Ben Hurkanis. Omalehem, if that's the case, I know what. Ah, Kotni Yeshli, I have a younger brother. Now it says in Bechor Sotanhu. That's a strange Lushan. First of all, the word Sotan is strange, and also, why is it calling him a Bechor? After all, he's
younger, right.
He's Ah Kotni. So in fact, first of all, on the Taich of Bechor Sotan, Rashi says about 12 lines from the top, Bechor Sotanu, Charif v'oimid al shmu osoi, v'oisem masa, v'elishom nishmu osoi, las is kiram. The word Sotan over here means that he's very, very sharp, so sharp that when he gets down to the bottom of business, the bottom of halacha, he stays with it, he sticks to his guns, and he won't budge, no matter what you can try to convince him, he's going to be like a stone wall. So that's our Girsa. However, I think it's a Maritz Chayis that says that number one, in other Sfarim it doesn't say Satan, it says Shonun, Shin Nun Vav Nun, and you could see how the typist or the person that was the printer could take the Nun Vav and somehow crunch them together and look like a test, because the first part of the test is a Nun, and the second part of the test, the second wall, is like a Vav. So if you have a printer's mistake, it's easy to confuse Shanun with Satan. And Shanun, of course, like Rashi says, he was a Charif. He was very, like we find in the Gemara, that he says Shinana. Shinana means the very sharp one. That's one. And then says also the Maritz Chayis that Luli the Mr. Finan, that maybe it's another printer's mistake, not Bechor with a Chav, but Bechor with a Ches. And therefore, Bochur, as we know, means a young man, a Bochur, and it could also mean a chosen one. So he is a very chosen Shinoina, he is a sharp Bochur, and he knows his halachas so well. And what is his real name? Back to the Gemara. V'yoinesin Shemai, he is the famous Rabbi Yoinesin ben Horkenes. Never heard of him, but he was the younger brother of Reb Doisa. V'hu mitalmidei Shammai, he is a Talmud of the Bei Shammai. And therefore, that's why he paskin, Tzoras Abbas, is mutali achin. V'yizaru, and be careful. If you're going to engage him in a Talmudic discussion, shaliyah kapeach eschem b'halochais. He shouldn't go and conquer you with discussing the halach over here. V'fishyesh imoy sholosh meyos tshuvois b'tzoras Abbas. If you're going to go and engage him in a discussion about Tzoras Abbas, he has 300 reasons and justifications why Tzoras Abbas, Shehin Muteres, that it is Mutter. And so therefore, you came to the wrong address. You don't mean me, Reb Doisa, you really want to speak to my brother, Reb Yoinesin. He's the one that is strong on behalf of Meishamah. Aval, but now Reb Doisa says on his own, Meir ani alai shemayim va'oret, sh'al meducha zu yoshev chagai hanovi. On this meducha, meducha was a mortar, a pestle, which apparently was strong enough or big enough for a person to sit on. Here chagai hanovi sat, va'omar shloi shedvar. So this is what I was telling you before, that some are of the opinion that Reb Dois is being made on his own, in other words, that he was actually there and saw Chagai HaNavi. Chagai HaNavi, as you know, was from among the
Anshei Kness of the Gedolah,
and he was among the last ones of the Nevi'im. And the Gemara, of course, is talking about already after the Chorban Beis Hamikdash, we're talking about these Tanoim. And so therefore, they speculate that he lives, in fact, a few hundred years from Chagai until here. And that's why Kamu Einav Milov the Besmedish, because anybody that's already 300 or 400 years old, by that time he gets very thick cataracts and it's difficult to see. Anyway, and as Nish is Orchid, but the point is he was already an elderly individual, and now he is attesting to the fact that, number one, Chagai HaNavi said, Shloisha Devarim, what are the Shloisha Devarim? Number one, it starts with Bas Asura, our case. In other words, he's paskening like Beis Hillel, not like Beis Shammai. Number two, Amin Amoy Ma'asrin Ma'isra Oni Bishmias. We'll talk about that more in another few lines. And similarly, we're going to talk about Mekablam Geira Min HaKarduyin U Min HaTarmudim. And that's the end of the first part of the story. And what happens now? The three Rabbanim, once they realize that they have nothing more to discuss with Reb Dois, because after all, Reb Dois is on their side, we paskin like Beis Hillel, so now we're going to leave. When they came in, they all came in through the same door. When they left, they went out through three separate doors. And the obvious question is, who cares? Why would the Gemara share that with us? So Tosis has two pshat when you look at the second Tosis, Yotzev Gimel Psachim. So Tosis, Shulayimtzim Kulam Yachad V'yikapchein B'halochais V'yitztaruchu L'kvoya Halocha K'moisai. After Reb Dois told them how sharp his younger brother Reb Yonason was, he's going to be Mekapeach Dem B'halochais. That means he's going to have a discussion and he's going to conquer and vanquish them. They were noivis, because since these are the three very prominent Gedolei Hadar, can you imagine if he convinces them, they might have to go and come back to the Beis Medrash and say, Rabbi, say, we made a mistake, we have to follow Beis Shammai. So they figured, you know, to go and, we shouldn't have that issue, let each one of us go through a separate Pesach. Worst comes to worst, one of us will meet Rabbi Yonason, he'll tell him all the tshuvas and all the halachas and all the rest, and he'll say, okay, what, I hear you, and I have to now discuss it with my colleagues. So he won't be forced to go and decide anything. He'll say, I have to bring this back to the other Rabbanim and the Beis Medrash. That's why they preferred going in separate doors. That's the first pshat. And then the second pshat of Tosis is just the opposite. They said they should find him and be able to go and engage him in discussion. If all three go through one door, guess what happens? Reb Yonason might come through the other door and they won't even have a chance to meet him. This way at least one of the three will meet him. And guess what? In fact, this worked. Says the Gemara, Reb Akiva met Reb Yonason. Akshile, and he asked him, why do you hold Tzuras Abbas is mutter? Vo'ikme means he was moikim him, he stopped Rabbi Akiva in his tracks by telling him some or all of the 300 tshuvas, until Rabbi Akiva kind of gave up and said, okay, I hear what you have to say, Rabbi Yonason, you made excellent points. So now once we see that he, Rabbi Yonason, in a sense conquered or vanquished Rabbi Akiva, Omaloi, he asked, are you the famous Atu Akiva Shishim Chahilich Misoifa Oilam Atsoifa that everybody's talking about you? Ashracha Shizachisa L'Shem, you are to be praised that you got such a wonderful name that everybody's talking about Rav Akiva. However, V'adayin Lehigata L'Roya Bakar. Unfortunately, I can see from our discussion in Talmud that you're not the great scholar that everybody thinks. You're only on the Madrega of a Roya Bakar.
Which is actually what he was before he became a Talmud Chacham.
And could be that's the reason why he made such a reference. Anyway.
Kind of mean.
It's a little bit insulting. So now, anybody else would probably say, hey, you know, who are you to go in and out? Amalei Rav Akiva, not only are you right, V'afil L'Roya Tzoyin, I'm not even on the Madrega of Roye Tzoyin. Roye Tzoyin is considered to be even less of a Madrega than Roye Bakar. And the reason is, say the Mefarshim, because the Gemara says elsewhere that Tzoyin don't listen to their master, and they freely roam all over, and they eat besodois acherim. They go and graze and eat from other people's fields, and therefore these Roye Tzoyin, the Tzoyin themselves are the Ganovim, and since the Roye Tzoyin cannot easily control them, so they are considered to be inferior to the Roye Bakar, where the Bakar you have at least a little bit more control of the Bakr, and you won't allow them to roam around so freely. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva is saying about himself, you are 100% right, not only am I a Raya, but I'm not even on the Madrega Raya Bakr, I'm on Nebuch on the lesser Madrega Raya side. It shows the great humility of the great Rabbi Akiva. So, with that, we finish the discussion about the Tzaras Abbas, and now we come back to the other two halachas. The second thing was that he said that Amen Moy Ma'asun Masa Oni Bishviz, the Omar Harbi Krochem Kovshu Oilim Sain, the Kovshu Oilim Bogel, Udush Visharina Kitchel Shadla Kitchel of his Lavoi, the Hinich Mikadesh Yiswale Amen Bishviz. Now we have this Gemara already back in the beginning of Masechtas Chagiga. As you'll see on the side, it says Chagiga Gimel on the base. What did the Gemara tell us over there? That it was a separate Gemara. The Gemara said they didn't want to go, and they were visiting the Rebbe, and the Rebbe said, "No, what did you hear in this Medrash? No, yo, Tammincha, on the way out, but you're Tammidim, we don't want to say Dvar Aloch in front of you, you tell us. No, Afu Piken, please go and tell us what you learned in this Medrash." And the Gemara says, why were they afraid to go and say to the Rebbe what they learned in this Medrash? Because a Maaseh Shehayah. What was the Maaseh? That it was a Talmud that visited his rabbi, and the rabbi said, no, what did they learn in this Medrash? And he repeated this halacha. He said, in this Medrash, they decided today, this din of Amun Amayev. He said, they decided today? This was decided already hundreds of years ago, but I shouldn't necessarily tell them by the Sanhedrin. You're telling me I'm said today. And therefore, he said, open up your hands. And Nebuchadnezzar had the person's eyes fell out, and he took the eyes in his hands. Then it says, at the end, after he cooled off, he put the eyes went back into their sockets. Anyway, that was the story there in Chagiga, but getting to our story over here, what the Gemara is telling us is that when Yeshua ben Nun came up initially, that's what the Gemara refers to as the Oili Mitzrayim, they were Mekadesh, the cities and the towns that they conquered from the local indigenous seven Amamim that were there at that time in Eretz Canaan, and the Mekadeshim, once the Mekadeshim, they had the Kedushas Aretz for all purposes, including for purposes of Shemitah. After the first Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, and Klal Yisrael went into Golus, and now Ezra and Nehemiah came back with the Yidden the second time, so they had to mekadesh all of those towns and cities yet again, because the Kedusha Rishayna Kitcha L'Shata worked until the end of the Chor Beis Hamikdash, for the Kitcha L'Aslob, and it didn't continue on into future years, so Ezra and Nehemiah had to go and be mekadeshed. However, they decided only to mekadesh land in Eretz Yisrael proper, in other words, what we think of the classic Eretz Yisrael, but not those parts which were Eiver HaYarden, which we had the 2.5 Shvatim, Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe, that took over from Sichon and Oig in that large part, which today I think they call Transjordan, or just Jordan. Anyway, so that also was added to Eretz Yisrael, but that part they left, and they were not Mekadesh again. Why were they not Mekadesh again? Because they had felt bad for all the Aniyim, that the Aniyim needed parnasa, they needed food during the Shemitah year. So what did they do? They said that that should remain as regular land and should not have the Kedusha of Shemitah, but they were misakin that they should give Trumas and Maisers, presumably in Midrabanim, and the Maiser that they should give is not the Maiser Sheini, but rather the Maiser Oni. Even though Lefi the Cheshbon, it should be Maaseh Sheni, because as we know, first and second year is Maaseh Sheni, third year is Maaseh Ani, and then fourth and fifth year is Maaseh Sheni, sixth year is Maaseh Ani. So now we get into seventh year, so I think we should start the cycle again, year number one, year number two. But rather, they said this year also Maaseh Ani, they had two Maaseh Anis back to back in year six and year seven for the Aniyim. So therefore, he's now telling us this halacha, Amun Amoyev. When we're referring to Amun Amoyev, says Rashi, originally it belonged to Amun Amoyev, but after that, Sichon conquered it from them, and then Klal Yisrael was able to go and take it from Sichon. And now what happened? So those places, Ma'asa Ma'asa Oni B'Shvi'is, you give Ma'asa Oni in Shmatiyah, the Omer Ma'ar, Harbi Kerachim Kofshe Oil Mitzrayim, the Kofshe Oil Bovel, the Oil Bovel did not conquer them and be Mekadesh them, and even those that they were Koivesh, they were not Mekadesh, because Kedush Rishoyni, Kedush Rishoyni, Kedush Rishoyni, they Nicham, they specially left over those areas, the former Amun Amoyev Sichon places, so that the Aniyim should have food during Shmatiyah. It's interesting, the two Rashis that discuss this, and Rashi changes his mind a little bit in the second time around. If you look at Amun Amoyev, about a quarter down the Amud, Amun Amoyev, Yisraelim Adon B'Eretz Amoyev Umoyev, Shekibesh Moshe Me'Sichoy, V'Niskach B'Kedushas Eretz Yisrael in the times of Yehoshua, V'Yachshav B'Vayishayni Bot L'Kedushasa, the kedusha was batal, and they did not reinstate it. Mizorim b'shviyas, the talk lahen ma'aser rishon and ma'aser ani b'shviyas. Kedusha come on, but they panos asaniim shebaretz Yisrael. Shein them alechol b'shviyas. They won't have any food. Lefisha batal leket and shikha and peya. And therefore they would go there to Amin Amoyev to Sichem land. Okay, that sounds great. And now if you look at the Rashi a little bit further down, Ukadushari Shinas, about 6-7 lines further, and now Rashi adds, Liskoir Atzmon Lachroish Velikzor, the Oi Litaleka Shikopeyo Maser Ani. So the two Rashis are consistent that one of the reasons why, so they should be able to get the handouts. The Leket Shikopeyo Maser Ani. But the second reason, says Rashi, is because those Aniyim that don't want handouts, that actually want to work, they'll have employment opportunities. After all, agriculture was the major industry. This is before high tech and stuff of that nature. They didn't have internet jobs and programming. So what did people, what were their jobs? People worked in the fields. So one person was the Wasserträger. He would go and schlep out the water, and someone would bring the fertilizer, and someone would go and do the plowing, and so on and so forth. But none of those job opportunities were available during Shemitah. But out there in quote-unquote Chutzlaritz land, the Amun Amoyev and Sichon land, since they left them and were not Mekadosh them, so therefore they were able to go and get jobs, as well as those that didn't, or those that didn't, were also got the Leket Shechopeya and Masrani. Anyway, I don't know why Rashi didn't say that the first time, but the second time. Good. Maybe there weren't that many people that were interested in jobs that were interested in more, so whatever.
Then when Rashi wrote the first one, there weren't that many people come, they were just taking handouts. Ah. By the time he wrote the second one, he saw people showing up for work.
Oh, can you imagine?
Yeah.
Oh, what? Anyway, continuing on. Says the Moravaita, the third one is a Mekablan Gerim and a Kerduyim v'hatarmudim. Now what is the issue over here? The issue is the Kerduyim and Tarmudim were considered to be Goyim. However, we will see momentarily that some of the Amiroim heard or felt, or there were rumors that many of these Kerduyim and Tarmudim are really descended from Yid, from Jews. Now, as we all know today, the halacha is, if a goy marries a Jewish girl, lives with a Jewish girl, and they have a child, the child is Jewish. Child is not a miyuchas, because there's a goyish father, nevertheless it's a Jewish child. And if and when this Jewish child becomes from and all the rest, anybody's allowed to go and marry the Jewish child, no problem. On the other hand, maybe not a goy, but Yisrael and Levium can marry without a problem. On the other hand, if you have a Jew that lives with a goyter, then the child, of course, is a goy. Fine. However, elsewhere, not in our Gemara, but elsewhere in Ksubis and Kedush and other places, there are many of the Tanom and Amiroim held, not, we don't feel like that in Halacha, but many of them held that if you have a goy living with a Jewish and they have a child, that child has the status of a mamzer. And therefore, the problem is, if these Karduyim and Tarmudim are descended from such mixed marriages, such intermarriage, many of them may now be mamzer. If we're going to go and be megayer them, we're going to have a major problem. We're going to go and bring in mamzerim to Klal Yisrael, being for the fact that they might already be Jewish and they are mamzerim. We're going to go and convert them. That's all very good and fine. They'll now be full-fledged Jews, no doubts about it. People are going to go marry them, but they might really be Jewish mamzerim as opposed to being goyim. This is an issue that came up years ago in connection with the Ethiopian Jews. With the Ethiopian Jews, for hundreds of years, thousands of years, they had no connection with the rest of Klal Yisrael. They didn't have any chacham, they didn't have any rabbanim, and therefore their kedushin presumably was not like our kedushin. But regardless, they got married. Presumably, their gittin, they didn't have a get, or if they had a get, it wouldn't be a kosher get. And so, therefore, if any of these women remarried to other men and had children, then the children would be mamzer. If you hold that they were Ethiopian Jews who just really a farce and they happen to be goyim, there's no problem. Be megayer them and everything is great. But if in fact they happen to be Jews and there are certain simanim that they're Jews, if that's the case, we may have a problem with mamzerim. Anyway, this is all based on these gemaras and these halachas, whether we have those types of issues or not.
But at the Talmudim, don't we have them elsewhere? They're I think you call them in Yiddish menschenfressers.
Hannibals.
Yeah, there is such a a Medina, but I don't think they were Talmudim. I don't remember what the names were, but our Gemara certainly doesn't go into that. Our Gemara assumes that they were otherwise nice and ethical and equitable people.
And also the people, the flat-footed people that the Ger
has in Shabbos. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara here, what does the Gemara tell us? That Mekabim Gerim and Akarduyim Umin HaTamudim, you can accept Gerim from those two places, and therefore Reb Doisim and Horkanes is saying in the name of Chagai that these are Goyim Gemurim, and therefore you can take Gerim. Freitimor Eini Vatani Romi Bar Yecheskel Ein Mekabim Gerim and Akarduyim, that you cannot. Why can't you take them? Because of the concerns that we just said. If you want to look at it quickly at the Rashi, just 10 lines from the bottom, Ein Mekam Gerim, Meshur Rashi, L'Farsh, come on, Shemam Zerim, Hein Mi Yisrael, Shnitmu Shab, the word Nitmu is not from a Lashon of Tomei, then it would say in Aleph, Nitmu means that they intermarried and they got mixed in together
concealed,
with the
wife. Concealed, because hidden?
I don't know if they're concealed. Tomun, that would be Nitman with a Nun.
Tomun is like hidden in a haystack.
That's correct, and that's with a Nun, Nitman. Here we're talking about Nitmu, Ayin, that usually means that they are intermarried and Oskimish there, mixed in with all the going there. So therefore, don't take care of them because many of them are mamzer. Oh, Mr. Ezach Shver, here we see that Chagai and Abdoisim and Horkanis are saying that these are Goyim Geburim, and Rabbi Cheskel says no.
Rabbi Cheskel is much later. He's an Amora.
He's Tani. He's learning a Brayso.
Okay.
But now the question is, do we want to make a Machloikis? From Ravashi, no, it's not a Machloikis. Kartuyim Itman. In fact, these are Karduyim, and these are Kartuyim. Kin Amri Inchi. Kartuyim, those up soon. Talk about the Kartuyim, dear. Though unfortunately, we have a problem of Mamzeris, like we just said. But the Kartuyim, they're okay. The Ikadiyamin is another version, which is almost the same. Tony Rabbi Vayecheskel, Ein Mekam Gimena Kartuyim. Faith Yimora, my love, Heine Kartuyim, Heine Karduyim, that they're both in the same peckle, the same basket, the same set, that Ein Mekablim. Kartuyim Lechud, Kartuyim Lechud. Kin Amri Inchi, like people say, Kartuyim Psalim. So basically, it's the same. Says the Gemara, Reb Yoichin Mesabia de Amri Tavayu Ein Mekablim. Doesn't say who Saba, otherwise you're going to tell me that's Toys and Chuk. So Yoichinan Mesabia de Amri Tavayu Ein Mekablim Gemin at Tamudim. That both of them say that you're not Mekabel Gemin. Till now we spoke about Kartuyim and Karduyim. Now we're talking about Tamudim. So Reb Yoichinan says we don't take Gemin at Tamudim for the same reason, Nochemul, because of the possibility that they are Mamzerim and they're really Yisrael. Now we're going to ask a seder of Rabbi Yochanan on Reb Yochanan. Umiyam Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, did Rabbi Yochanan really feel that way? That you're not Mekabel Gerim at Talmudim because they maybe are Jews? But now we learn in the Mishnah, Kol Aksamim Haboyim Min Harekim Tehoyrim. If you find Begodim that are imported from the town or the city of Rekim, and you find on the Begodim that there is a Kesem. A Kesem means a
stain.
And specifically a blood stain. And if it's a blood stain, especially if it's women's clothing, then you have to be concerned that maybe these begodim are tame, either from nida blood, ziva blood. Exactly. So the question is, do we have that problem? Says the Tanakhama, no, they are tahirim. Why are they tahirim? Says Rashi. Legozru al kisme oivdikachavim. The people that lived in Rekim were Goyim, and therefore these are clothes that belong to Goyim. No, so even if they have Ksam, big deal. There's no din of Ksamim, of red blood stains being Tamei by Goyim, only by Yidin. So you can use those clothing, you don't have to go and wash them, you don't have to toivel them, it's all fine and dandy.
But don't we have a chazaka that they're all Zavos, Lachol, as a chazaka they're all Zavos?
That's people.
That's on the people, but not on the
son.
Reb Yehuda Metame, Reb Yehuda was Metame Nishen Gerim. He said, no. The people that live in Rekem, they are really Jews. The Toyim. Unfortunately, over the years, they have, Rashi says, Hey Miru Dosam. And unfortunately, they have become gone off the path. If you see in our Gemara, it's a little one next to Shemiro. Shenishtamdu. And unfortunately, Shemad, many of them never have become Christians. Hemiru dasam. Because al kislaim, sha'afu bishachotu. Shemiru. Or Shenishtamdu. Yisraelim, even if they become Christians, it makes no difference. Yinna yinna yin. And so therefore, don't go and touch those begotten. Don't allow the begotten to go and touch foods, because there will be metam in them. You have to go and toivel them, etc. That's the first half. Now continues on Reb Yehuda, Mibein Oyv Dikachavim. However, if instead of coming from Rekem, if you have Begodim or Ksamim that come from other places, Mibein Oyv Dikachavim, in other words, Goyisha cities, Shtarim, then you don't have to worry. Rashi says, She'en Yisrael Dorim Shom. There's no concern, they're not Yisraelim, they're only Goyim, so it's time. Vavina, but on this last part that we said, Mibein Oyv Dikachavim Tahirim, we were clearing. Kaposing v'tani, it just says a clear case or a clear halacha mibein oiv dechavim, and it doesn't distinguish and say except for this and except for that. So it sounds like a filum in a tarbin. That even tarbin would be one of the cities among the oiv dechavim. So it sounds like they're tohirim because they're all goyim. From Rabbi Yochanan Zoisimeres, from this Mishnah, we can prove and we can see the Mekablam Gerimi Tarmud. Since we're saying that Tarmud is one of the cities of the Goyim, Mibein Oiv Dikachavim, and we're saying that the Ksamim Atahoyrim, because no Jews live there, only Goyim live there. No, if that's the case, any Goy that comes from Tarmud, we can be Megayer him.
That's a leap, because we just said that the whole reason that the Ksamim are Tahar is because they were in Gozan Ksamim. They're not making any gzeira about the yichas or not.
What's the reason why Ben Oiv Dikachom is Torah? What did Rashi say in the Amidah? Last Rashi, Ben Oiv Dikachom. Why
so?
There are no Jews there. So if there are no Jews there, who lives in Talmud? Goyim. Says Rabbi Yochanan, since only Goyim live in Talmud, Mekam Gehem in Talmud, you can go be Mekam Gehem, because how Goy comes, you don't want to go be Megayer a Jew, you want to be Megayer a Goy. So a Goy comes in Talmud, no problem. Now this is Rabbi Yochanan speaking. So what did Rabbi Yochanan say in the Amud Aleph?
Ein mekam
geim in haTalmudim. On the Amud Aleph, Rabbi Yochanan says, oh, don't take the Talmudim, they might be Yidin. Here on the Amud Aleph, Amud Beis, so Rabbi Yochanan varied from a Mishnah that you can be mekabel geim from Talmud. No, Rabbi Yochanan, make up your mind. Is it Yotz or Nisht? Maybe you're going to go and tell me that when Rabbi Yochanan said, Zois emeres mekablam gerim, he meant zois v'loy svirle. Yeah. The Mishnah and the Tana of that Mishnah, yot maskim zois emeres. However, I respectfully disagree based on other Tanoim or other prices or Mishnayos or whatever it is. Rabbi Yochanan famously says Halach Gistam Mishnah, right. And since there's no name over here, so that's the halacha. If that's the halacha, how could he personally say differently? The ein mekablam state of the mekablam. In fact, there are different Talmidim Rabbi Yochanan. The Talmud on the Amud Aleph said that Rabbi Yochanan was very strict. He says, Ein Mekablim. And he says, Rabbi Yochanan, Amud Bey, he says, Mekablim. So, Gemara, Mi Talmud, my time, like, what's the problem in Talmud? So, Gemara, please, but Rabbi Yochanan Masabia, after all, back in the Amud Aleph, is Rabbi Yochanan Masabia together that said, Ein Mekablim. So, what was the Machlokes? Chadom Misham Avish Loimah. Now, what are the Avdi Shleima that we're talking about? So, if you look at Rashi on the third line, Avdi Shleima, Shenosu Benois Yisrael, Machmas Oishran. Ah, Shleima Melech had many avodah, many slaves working for him. Some of those slaves presumably ultimately became free, or maybe when they didn't become free, but they ran out, or whatever, they decided to develop relationships with young Jewish women. The main reason is because of Machmas Oishan, because they smelled money. The Dorim Shom, and eventually they hooked up together and they married them. The Dorim Shom, Becheskes Oiv Dikachom, and these Avodim Ashlemu were Goyim. Because of Oiv Dikachom, Bas Yisrael, Avlan Mamzer. In other words, not like we paskin Lalacha. We paskin that a Goy that lives with a Jewish young lady, it's not a nice thing to do, but Lamaisa, the children are kosher children. However, he is of the view that Avlad is a mamzer, and that's not only Rabbi Yochanan, many others in Shas hold that way, but we don't pass it that way. Anyway, so because they have to be mamzerim, that's why we can't take them for gerim, because we're bringing mamzerim into Klal Yisrael. Zogti Umara, so that's the first chat. Chanam, the other one said, Mishom Benois Yushalayim. Who's Benois Yushalayim? That's the next Rashi. The Kamim Mefarishlo. Benoist Yushalayim, when Yushalayim was Bechurbana, when Yushalayim Nebuchad Bechurban, Kishabo Evdikchav Minosim. So, as we'll see shortly, some of the Goyim came to go and plunder and loot the Beis Hamikdash and loot the Jewish homes in Yushalayim. Other Goyim had other ideas on their mind. They wanted to go and take the Jewish women for wives or for maids, etc. So, getting back to the Gemara, and that's the problem, therefore, that in Talmud, either these are descendants of the Avdi Shleima who took the Jewish women, or the Jewish women that were taken by the Goyim that were there at the time of the Chor. So, because they happen to have a Jewish legacy, Jewish genealogy, we have a problem with Mamzerim, and don't take Like we just said. Tell me more details. What was this all about? It's Pli Yibar Rabbi Yosef Rabban. Mitzvayim Mishmei Rabbu Bruchan. Chadam Etreisa Alfi Gavri Veshita Alfi Kashtuye. One says that at that time of the Bnei Yerushalayim, during the time of the Churban, there were 12,000 men plus 6,000 archers. Rashi says Kashtuye means Moishchei Keshes. Archers. Chad Omer says not that there were 12,000 plus 6,000, but Chad Omer Treza Alfei Gavri Uminayu Shita Alfei Kashtuye. And of the 12,000, half of them, 6,000, were archers. Okay. Mishor Shenichlof to Isaac Chav Lehechol, at the times that the Goyim went and they raided and invaded and they conquered and they ultimately destroyed the base of Mikdash, Hakol Nifnu Al Kes Vizor. Most of the people were interested in going stealing the clay mikdash and taking the kesef and the zav, etc. However, the haim, those that we're talking about in our Gemara, that unfortunately took the Benos Yerushalayim, nifnu al Benos Yerushalayim, they went and they were honest them, in other words, they violated them and took them. Shem is in the pasuk, Noshim b'tzion inu b'suleis ba'ori Yehuda, pasuk that we lay from Eicha on Tisha B'Av night. So Noshim b'tzion inu, that they were ma'anis them, they went and tortured them, they took them for women. Okay, so this is now, we've now concluded the very lengthy discussion which started off with the B'dois of Herkenes, and the B'dois of Herkenes gave us the three halachas. The third halacha was the Talmudim and the Kartuyim, as you remember the Amud Aleph. But now we're completed with that full discussion. So now the Gemara goes back on one detail of the story, and that was that he, Reb Doisa, quoted the pasuk Nari Yisi Gam Zakati. Since he quoted that pasuk about Reb Lozer ben Azariah, the Gemara goes and said, Noch Ashtikl on that, Amr Shmuel ben Nachmeini, Amr Yogis, and pasuk Zeh Saro Oilam Amrei. The pasuk that we're going to quote now, that we say in benching, Nari Yisi Gam Zakati, who was the one that said it? It was the Saro Oilam. We'll see what that means in a moment. Man Amrei, who was the one that said that? Now it's a pasuk, of course, in Tehillim. So, Ilim Kuchibricho, would you say the Kodesh Baruch Hu himself said, Nari Isi Gam Zakanti, Yikazikme Kamei, can you talk and ascribe to Kodesh Baruch Hu that he's young and that he's old? I know what they might ask in the Zikme, when I could have talked about Nari Isi. Kodesh Baruch Hu is young or old. I mean, Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't have any physical forms. The Allah, David Amre, okay, David was the one that was Masada to him, so David Amalek probably said it. Mikoshish Kuli Hai, as we know, David Amalek passed away at the ripe old age of 70. So when he said this, presumably he was somewhat younger. That's not a zikna, okay? 70 is not 20, but still it's not a zok, okay? So, l'choyer, that would be inappropriate. Elish Mamina Sara Oilam Amre, who's the Sara Oilam? Rashi says it was a Malach that said this. And if you remember, we learned not too long ago that Malachim have three ways which are similar to Bani Adam, three ways are similar to Behemoth. They shade them, they Shindal is similar to Malachim, to Bani Adam. Anyway, so we see from this Gemara that Malachim also have youth and can get elderly. So the Malach said, now the Isi Gamzakati. Continuing on the Gemara, the Omer of Shmuel Nachmani. Since we had Reb Shmuel Nachmani, Omer of Yoinesen, we say another verse of his, especially because we're now getting back to Eicha. Ma'ayit HaSiv is in the bottom, Yodei Poras Tzor Al Kol Machmadeha. Yodei Poras Tzor, Tzor are our oppressors, our enemies. Yodei Poras, they spread out their hands, they stick out their hands. Al Kol Machmadeha, all of their great desirables, from Lashon Sachmite, in other words, from the great treasures. Who is this Yodei Poras Tzor? Says he was something fascinating. The Amun Moyev, the Bishor Shenichlus Oidik Chom Mehechel, like we had a moment ago, Hakol Nifna Kesev Zahav, others among those 18,000 or the 6,000, the archers, went and took the Noish Yishayim, the Haim, and the Amun Moyev guys, Nifnu Al Sefer Torah! They went and looked for the Sefer Torah. Now, if you remember, we had already earlier, back I think in Megillah, that there was a Sefer Torah in the Azara, and the Gemara says that the reason why they had that Sefer Torah was for two purposes. Number one, for the Kohen Gadol to read from on Yom Kippur, and also every 7 years for the Melech to lay at the time of Hakeh. Hopefully, this coming Sukkot, we will be zoicha to hear the lady from the Melech at the time of Hakeh. Anyway, that was one gear. So it was another gear that Rashi brought, that it wasn't Azara, but it was Sifrei Shel Ezra. It was a Sefer Torah that was written by Ezra HaSeifer. Now, why did Amun Amoyev want this Sefer Torah? Not to be able to go and sell it. They wanted to go and burn it. It says in the Pasuk, we are disgraced forever and ever. I'm going to join the ranks of Klal Yisrael. We want to go and burn that Sefer Torah and destroy it, that it shouldn't be there anymore. The Marsha says, notice the word in the Pasuk was Yodai Poras Tzor, that Porash Tzor, that he spread out his hand. The word Porash is Pei Reish Shin, and Sorav is Sin Reish Fei, which beautiful. Is the same Oisius in reverse. And so therefore, that's the reason why they wanted to take Machmadea, not just to stretch out their hands to grab it, but then to Sorav, to reverse the letters, and to go and burn it. Shtei Vaitin the Pasuk Tziva Shem Yaakov, and again a Pasuk in Eicha, Tziva Shem Yaakov, Tzvivav Tzorav, the Kodesh Baruch Hu had Tzvivav around them, Tzorav, their oppressors. Now what means that there are oppressors around them? Amaravki going Humanya Lapum Nahar. These were two neighboring towns or cities, if you look at Rashi. Humanya Lapum Nahar, Bahumnanya, they were Yevanim, they were Greeks. Umaitzirim, they oppressed Lebnei Pum Nahara, Shehem Yisrael, Anim. Those are Nebuch, poor Yidin, and Nebuch, they went and oppressed them, notwithstanding their poverty, and made life even more difficult and tortured them even more. So that's the pshat in the Sviv of Tzorov, that the people lived in the Svivois, Tzorov, they were their biggest enemies. That's what we had throughout the pogroms, throughout the years. The ones that did the pogroms against the Jews were typically their own neighbors. People lived down the street, people lived in the same town. They were the worst oppressors, and they killed their Jewish neighbors. And then, of course, they plundered and looted all of their money, etc. Oh, if you have a goy bezman hazeh, that's mekadesh and isha. Normally you would say, ah, this is all baloney, it's chagoy, it's meaningless, it's not toifis kedushin. No, we're choishish to kedushin. Maybe he's a descendant of the aseres hashvatim. Pray to Yimara, come on, give me a break. Call the parish, baruch parish. Obviously, there are many more goyim than there are aseres hashvatim mixed among the goyim. Yeah, there may be a bother, but it's a small percentage. Shouldn't you go basaroyf? If you want to be duchto dekvi, we're talking about a place that people know that there were descendants there from the Aseres HaShvatim, and we have the famous rule called Kavua, so it's no longer Roiv, it's 50-50. Ah, it's Roiv, 50-50, then you have to be Choshish. Maybe this Chosin, the one that I went to the Chosin yesterday, I don't have to worry about it. But the one that I went today, I have to worry about, because it's Mechzal Mechzal, so 50%. You know, they say about Rabbi Aaron Kotler Zatzal, that the first time he came to New York, he went over to a policeman and spoke to him in Yiddish and asked him how to get to a certain address. So the policeman, who was Jewish, answered him and he told him. So after he finished speaking with him, the policeman said, how did you know that I was Jewish, that you addressed me in Yiddish? So they say the story that Rabbi Aaron Kotler said, that he heard that a third of all the people that live in New York are Jewish. He said he already passed two policemen and he didn't ask them. He was number three, so he figured he must be the Jewish one. And he spoke to me Yiddish. And in fact, he was one Yiddish. So here was Mechzal Mechzal. Probably half of the marriage you didn't have to worry about, but the other half you have to worry about because it's a Mechzal Mechzal.
But anyway. In order to transact Kedushin, you have to use... You have to have das, right? I mean, you have to have gemiras das and kinyan.
Exactly.
To kedushin, a goy doesn't have that das. How can we say that we're
why doesn't he? Of course, he
wants. No, no, no. He may, as you say, want to just hook up, but he doesn't want to mekadesh a woman kedas moshe v'yisrael. It's not.
He didn't use those words.
He doesn't use the magic formula, but
he did give her a ring, and he did live with her for purposes of holy matrimony. If he's a Kohen, it's Kohenish. But yeah. If it turns out to be Jew, so he had the seichel of the Jew. He didn't have in mind kedas moshe v'yisrael, but he had in mind to go and marry.
And that's strong enough to create,
at least according to this man Yama.
Okay.
Basi says chesh nekedushin. So if they want to separate,
went to a chapel.
Exactly. So if they want to separate each other, then they have to be chesh nekedushin. Anyway, but again, only beducht the kvi, in a regular place, you don't have to worry about it. But maybe you have to worry about it. The Amr of Abba Bar Kan, Vayanchem, this is a pasuk in Malachim, this is talking about Sancheirev. The Tcheirev went and resettled the Eden from the Aseres Hashvatim. Vayanchem, he settled them, Vachaloch, Vachovar, Nehargoizen, Vaorei Modai. Now the question is, where are all these places? So Gemara says, Chaloch, that's Chalozin. Chovar is Zuhachadayev. Nehargoizen, Zuh Ginzak. Varim Madai, Zu Chemdon v'Chabrisa. That's Chemdon and its suburbs. Yamrila Zu Nihar v'Chabrisa. Its suburbs. Frey Dilar Chabrisa, man, can you give me the names of those suburbs? Omer Shmuel, Krach Mushchi, Chitki, V'Dunkai. That's the name of those suburbs. Omer Yoichanan, the Kulan, all of those that we have just now enumerated, those are all Lipsul. What means Lipsul? Look at the Rashi top line, at the end of the line, Lipsul. Ruban Mamzeirim, Shinitmu Aseres Vishwadim, Oydeis Kechavim, Ubenayim Harenki Israelim, Benayig Behem Isser Mamzeiris, Behem Loy Nizaru, Benosa Zeachoisei, Oybitoi, all types of incestuous relationships, Harihein Mamzeirim. So therefore, that's why the Gemara is telling us, that's why you have to be noivis about any goy that comes from those duchta, right? And those, the duchta dikvi. These are those locations, those duchta dikvi, that we know that they're descendants of the Sarah Shmatim. So anybody that gets married over there, you have to worry about kiddushin, that maybe they stuck a Jewish marriage and not a koyish marriage. Notice Harashi over here, there's a change on the side from the Marashah. Harashi says that how was the marriage? Aseres Shvatim, ba'oiv dois kechovim. Now this is different than what we had before. Before we spoke about goyim that violated Jewish women, either the Avdi Shleima who were goyim, right, and they enticed the Jewish girls because they were wealthy,
right,
or Benos Yerushalayim,
that are archers and militias,
exactly, that went and violated them.
Right.
So that was goyim and Jewish women. The product or the legacy, the progeny. Oh, better word, the progeny are, according to our Gemara, Jewish. It's a Jewish woman. And their mamzer. Here, however, it's the other way around. Soki badaseris hashvatim ba'oiv dois krichovim. The goyim, the yidn, that is the men, were Jewish, and the women were goites. Women are goites, nothing to talk about. The kids are goyim gemurim. However, notice on the side, they take a change the gear, sir. Nois haseris hashvatim ba'oiv dois krichovim to resolve that. So, I'm the mashal to discuss it further. Anyway, have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisrael, and Zach Kevench. Shkoyach, thank you very much, and thank you for attending and for joining. Call time.